This is Crypto Radio, powered by MoneyWeb, where we discuss all things crypto-related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
Jürgen Kernel and Mark Chernside are founders of crypto payments company Zago, spelt X-A-G-O, which provides a gateway entry point to Ripple's XRP ledger. What this means is you can transfer funds, either fiat or crypto assets, from one point to another on the Ripple ledger in a safe and secure way, provided it's on the XRP ledger. We're going to get into that in a minute. Mark, one of the big criticisms of Bitcoin is that you can't use it practically to buy coffee and croissants. It just takes too long. Visa and MasterCard can do it in seconds. Have you solved this problem at Zago?
Yeah, I think we've moved it now into reality rather than into probability or, you know, possible. So we're able to, in a much shorter time scale, so instant settlement, no chargebacks, and near zero fees. So we're comparable in then with the Visa and the MasterCard in terms of timing, but we're better in the terms of settlement and no chargebacks, obviously, which is obviously a risk for many merchants in that environment. We're definitely moving into a space where people don't need to know that it's running on blockchain or Ripple in that retail environment. Just the same as they don't know how Visa and MasterCard really works in most of the cases anyway.
Just talk about that a minute. You said one of the advantages that you have over Visa or MasterCard is settlement. What are the problems that you have with card payments that maybe people don't understand?
Card payments can be charged back for many months depending on the country. So, you know, you can do a transaction and then 6 months later say, it wasn't me. Then the merchant and your bank and the acquiring bank have to prove it was you. Obviously, with chip and PIN, that made it a lot easier, a lot more secure. But if you don't, you know, like the United States, where the PIN's still not used overly, there's obviously major risk there.
Jürgen, you're making this payment system available on Ripple, or XRP as it's known. That's not important for customers to know, rather like when you send funds between one bank and another. You don't really know how that's done. But what perhaps is important to know is which crypto is best placed for payments. Now, you've chosen Ripple or XRP. Just explain why that is.
Thanks for that question. Obviously, the first reason we have to look at is why we have chosen a blockchain or a crypto asset rather than a traditional payment method before we look at what type of crypto asset is the best place. So what the blockchain brought to the payments world is to have transaction finality between two parties, where the two parties don't have to have a relationship with each other. So in other words, you can have an open loop payment system without any relationship or a third party to create this transaction finality. And that is what Bitcoin essentially achieved with Satoshi's white paper. Most of the cryptos are pretty slow because of the proof of work algorithms. And therefore we have chosen XRP, which uses a consensus algorithm, which is super fast, settles in 3 seconds, have a throughput of 1,500 transactions per second, which you can scale, and is extremely cheap. I think you can do something like 100 transactions for 1 South African cents.
Mark, you've developed a platform which connects consumer wallets that store crypto assets, fiat currency, or rewards with the retailers. So you're bypassing the traditional rails, as they're called, and you're enabling consumers to use this value to make payments and deposits and withdrawals at the point of sale. Now, you did something similar in the UK. Tell us about that, and how is that project going?
It's going back a good few years, but we launched a product in the UK initially. It's called Ucash back then, which went ultimately to 50 countries around the world. You could walk into a store and buy a voucher at 400,000 locations and then use that voucher online. Initially, there was no regulation, none whatsoever. So we were outside the regulation, and there was that, you know, that frowned upon look from a new payment method, one, and two, you know, is it being used for nefarious means? And it was, in the beginning, it was used a lot on gambling side. We actually took a view that we wanted to be regulated. So we actually went through regulation in Europe, one of the first e-money regulations, and got it passported across the whole of the European Union at that time. And our business increased dramatically, not because now we were in the mainstream. So in the past, the customers and the merchants we were dealing with were mainly gambling before, and we were doing things properly, to be honest. But afterwards, there were companies like Skype and Disney were using the product. So now it just opened it up to make it more legitimate, more appropriate, less risky, and it was less frowned upon as a byproduct. So it changed our business overnight.
Jürgen, are we seeing cryptos being used for payments? There was a presentation recently in South Africa where someone mentioned that he paid for a meal using Bitcoin in 3 seconds. Now, anyone who owns Bitcoin and has transferred it knows that it can often take hours for Bitcoin. So how is that done? And there are ways and there are means, Zago being one of them, that makes this the kind of buying of a croissant or a cup of coffee, you can do it in seconds, right?
Absolutely. So I think a lot of people misunderstand what a payment is. When you transfer a Bitcoin from one wallet to another wallet, so or I could transfer it from my Luno wallet to Valour wallet, I've done a payment because I've transferred value between two wallets. So Bitcoin payments or crypto payments is rife. It's happening every day all over the place. So people misunderstand when they say payments is not happening. So a specific payment, what people often refer to, like a retail payment or pay for your cup of coffee. Now, if you take an example of BitPay in the US, they are currently processing over $100 million a day already doing only crypto payments. XRP, of course, is one of them. So crypto payments is absolutely happening all over the place. People just misunderstand sometimes what a payment actually is.
All right, so talk about Zygo, and you're going to be scaling this up, and presumably you're scaling this up across the world. How far have you got, and are you now in the, at the point where you're engaging merchants and you're engaging consumers, and you're just trying to build the network?
So good timing. I know you don't probably know what I'm about to say, but we announced the investment by Capitec this morning alongside him, their investment partner, Empowerment. So we announced that this morning. So that's banking in the crypto space. We are in the process of, we have signed already a number, but we have 25 global exchanges on the discussion point about accepting the integration with us to open up South Africa. Right. We are working with the authorities on regulation around this space. And we are working with a retail chain, a couple of retail spaces, to bring the functionality down to the point of sale.
So realistically, how far into the future will I be able to walk into, let's say, a Pick and Pay or a Spa and pay with Zygo system, your Zygo platform?
The early part of 2021.
And how will that be done? Will it be through my smartphone?
Yeah, it'll be through your phone. Smartphone, definitely, but we are looking to support USSD. Our platform was built around the USSD as well to allow feature phones.
Right, so that brings me on to the next question. Jürgen, which crypto is best placed for payments? And we've got all these different cryptos, and of course the big ones are Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Ripple. Now your platform is built on Ripple. Is that the best place for payments just because of the speed?
Absolutely. Payment speed is essential. If you had to take an example, for example, Bitcoin that takes 12 minutes to clear on average for a block confirmation, or the Ethereum network that takes 3 minutes, and then the XRP ledger that takes 3 seconds. If you had to use any of the other cryptos, let's just use Bitcoin as an example, to make a payment at Pick and Pay. If you're standing at the Pick and Pay and it takes 12 minutes for confirmation before you can leave the queue, you're going to slow the queue down, and I don't think Pick and Pay will be very excited about it. So what essentially will happen then is whoever's using that payment mechanism will have to take on some sort of a risk in order to clear the funds faster. And that's really not ideal, and it's kind of bypassing the whole point of the payment system. XRP is the only one that is placed that can actually transfer in the value and create transaction finality in less enough speed so that you won't influence the flow at the point of sale.
I mean, if you look at what Visa is doing and why they can achieve this standardly around the world, a transaction cleared in 3 seconds, I think the settlement only happens at the end of the day in batches, doesn't it? Are we talking about a different type of settlement here where it's going to be settled in real time rather than at the end of the day? And it really is just the exchange of information, not so. So could you not just be using the Visa or the MasterCard networks to facilitate the rollout of this new system?
You could certainly build upon the Visa and MasterCard networks. There's no issue there. And obviously they've announced their area in space. Their entry into this space. The settlement is actually very important. A merchant needs to know that they are settled. The difference here is they are settled and it cannot be reversed. The difference in a card transaction, it still can be reversed, anything up to 6 to 9 months later. So you may have got the money, but the consumer can obviously dispute the transaction.
Right.
So that's the major one of the major benefits. The second major benefit is, as Jürgen referred to earlier, the cost is just majorly different. So if you're a merchant today paying 3 to 6% of your revenue away to them, to your acquiring bank, I should say, and you could suddenly be you know, much lower, nearer to zero, which one are you going to go with?
Right. And so what cost will you be charging merchants in South Africa?
Well, we're charging 0.25%.
0.25% versus the typical 3-6%. That's a big saving. That's a very compelling business case, right?
And then you get the money, and you can have that money same day.
It's cleared in real time.
Yep, it's cleared in real time. So you can then, you can either batch it up. Obviously, people don't want to take out 20 Rand at a time, but they can if they want to. But they, if they batch it up, they can then take it out X times a day. We don't put a limit on.
Okay, and this method of payment, you can convert it from fiat currency to Ripple to other forms of money, can you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the major difference between Zago and some of the other exchanges is that although all these exchanges are centralized, so what that means, if I put 10,000 Rand, if I deposit 10,000 Rand into one of the local exchanges bank account, when that 10,000 Rand reflects in your wallet, what they've given you is a credit. So they're saying that you are, you know, we owe you 10,000 Rand, you've given it to us, and you can now either buy some cryptos or trade or do something with it. The major difference between us and them is when you give us 10,000 Rand or deposit 10,000 Rand into our bank account, we issue that 10,000 Rand onto the XRP ledger. And that 10,000 Rand, you are able to, so that is a peg coin, and you are able to send that around. You can send it to other customers on our platform, or you can send it externally to other platforms that have trust lines with us.
This is very interesting for people who are accustomed to doing Forex transactions. For example, you know, when you're sending money from a South African account to an overseas account, every time that money moves, there's a percentage which is bitten out of the thing. And that can be quite substantial. I mean, it can be 3% if you're using your card, and it'll probably be close to that if you're just doing an EFT transaction. So we're talking about a fundamental change in the whole business case here. I mean, these costs are going to come as close to zero as possible. And I mean, it really just is exchange of information. You know, whether you're moving that money from one address in Johannesburg to another in Johannesburg or to Alaska, there's no real difference in the cost or the logistics or the difficulty of sending that, right?
Absolutely right. And, you know, when it's, like you say, 3%, 3% of a million still hurts against someone who's sending 100 Rand. So that's a very important part. So if we actually, as going back to Jürgen's previous point, if it comes into our platform, you can send it to an exchange in Alaska, I think you said. You can send it to Alaska, and 3 seconds later, it's in Alaska. So, you know, and it's available. You can use it.
Okay. All the technology that sits underneath this is not really important for people to understand that. I mentioned the case of the guy who bought a dinner, and he paid with Bitcoin in 3 seconds. So there are these technologies that sit on the Bitcoin blockchain that enable this kind of speed to happen. What we're really waiting for now is the mass adoption, and that's probably going to be fairly at lightning speed. You know, in 2 or 3 years, we're going to look at a very fundamentally different financial system in the world, right?
Agreed. Yeah, there's no need for anyone, unless they want to know what the technology is under the lid, if you like. But just as much we don't know, unless you're involved, you know, like some of us have been for most of their life, in how the payment industry works. You just make a payment and it goes from your bank to someone else's bank. You just need to know that happened, and you need to know it happened securely, and you know there's no risk to you in doing so.
Okay, final question here. Central bank digital currencies, are they going to become a big thing? Are these central banks going to start issuing their own crypto monies?
Yes, I actually think it is. There are some central banks already. Well, there's quite a few already in test, and there's one or two already live. Even our local South African banks, the South African Reserve Bank, is having a project on that. I think central bank digital currency is a very interesting use case. I think it's, you know, the future is certainly going to be less cash and more digital cash in this case, which is central bank digital currencies.
Right. That does raise the obvious question, though. Is it just going to be another rail or another channel for them? Because the benefit that you have with Bitcoin is that it has a cap. There will only ever be 21 million of them in issue. Whereas when you've got these central banks issuing digital currencies, they might fall into the temptation that they've fallen into up to now, which is just no cap on the issuance of these coins.
I agree. So that's definitely an inflationary conversation, I suppose, around that space with the 21 million. So you can print money and you can issue digital currency. So inflation still can happen. So I think that's definitely going to come. But, you know, what is the other reason for doing it? The other reason is because they want to actually monitor what's going on, like they do today for money laundering or making sure you're using the money wisely from a tax perspective. So it's definitely coming. Whether it comes with the CBDC or a regulation, we think it will in most countries. There'll be regulation.
Will it be enforceable? I mean, people can go private in the crypto space, and there's very little that governments or central banks can do about it, right?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, if, you know, anything in life, I mean, if I wanted to take a little bit of cash and put it under my mattress, I can keep it private. You know, I can take some bitcoins and create some weird wallet somewhere. You know, there is ways for you to keep your privacy if this is what you're after. But generally, if you are so hung up on privacy, you probably are trying to hide something.
You're in the minority.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Mark says, you are probably in the minority. And so the reality is that if you've got nothing to hide, like a normal citizen, a good tax-paying citizen, there should be no reason for you to have a worry about CBDCs.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. That was Jürgen Kunnel and Mark Chernside, who are the founders of crypto payments company Zygo.